If music helps to shape a culture, there's no place you're likely to find it plays a bigger role than in Ireland. Coming up later in the hour today on Travel with Rick Steves, two of our friends from Ireland stir up some of the songs that are an important part of any Irish person's identity. A little south of Ireland, there's plenty to celebrate in the Basque country of Spain and France, too. As one of Europe's oldest cultures, Basque traditions reach way back to pre-Christian times, and they have their own ways to mark the passage of the seasons. To help us get better acquainted with what makes Basque country such a unique part of Spain and France, we're joined by Agustin Sarisa. He comes from a long-established family in the coastal city of San Sebastian, right in the middle of Basque country. And Francisco Glaria comes to us from Pamplona, the city known for the annual running of the bulls. Francisco lives on the edge of the Basque region in the northeast interior of Spain. Agustin and Francisco, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Agustin, who are the Basques?
Well, the Basque people are a very old tribe. They're known to be pre-Indo-European people.
Pre-European?
Pre-Indo-European people.
Pre-Indo-European, what does that mean?
This means that the humans were in Africa and they moved to Asia and they started moving to Europe. And the first settlements, one of the first settlements settled in the Basque country area. And these people have been there since then. They developed their own religion and also their own language and they kept it.
Is the Basque language related to Spanish and French?
Not at all. No, it has nothing to do with Latin or Greek. They still don't know where it comes from.
What is it related to?
Well, they don't know.
They don't know. So this is a really... Now, the irony is the Basque people, you could say they were one of the first people there, and they didn't get a country when they doled out the borders.
It's known to be the oldest language in Europe. And some studies are relating this language to those very old languages from the northern Scandinavian countries of Europe and Bulgarian as well. That's not 100% sure.
Many times when a little nation doesn't get its own independent nation, it's divided between a couple of countries. Francisco, Basque country is divided, of course, between France and Spain. How would you characterize French Basque country and Spanish Basque country? How are they similar? How are they different?
Well, the Basque country, it's a very strong culture. And culturally speaking, we're more or less the same. The first time I really realized that I was Basque and it was different, it was here in the United States. I came to the United States, to Bakersfield, California, and there's a big Basque community. And I saw that you have all of these kids from the United States, American, they speak perfect English and also perfect Basque. I was like, and you don't speak any Spanish at all? Okay, there's a strangeness.
That's very interesting because if somebody speaks two languages in Basque country, it would be Basque and Spanish.
Yep. But because the Basque culture, it's a culture. And the culture is the food, is the language, is the music, is everything. So it's the same more or less in the Basque country in Spain, the same Basque country in France, the same Basque country in the United States. It is a very powerful ethnic.
I've heard people say that the Basque culture in the United States has actually contributed more to our clichetic sort of image of
romantic,
the Basques are. Romantic, yeah. What is the romantic image that we get? And does it come from California or does it come from Europe?
Well, you have to think that in the Basque country, we're either fishermen or we're shepherds. And when we needed to go away, we only knew how to do those things. So we went to wherever we have cows or goats, which is Bakersfield, California, or Boise, Idaho.
Or Boise, Idaho.
And the fishermen, they went to Miami.
So there's a lot of Basques in Miami,
yeah,
Idaho, and California.
And California.
And your family is a family of shepherds?
Yep.
And Augustine, your family?
They've been running a fishing company for a long time.
Fishing. So yeah. That is very strong. Now, when you think about Basque struggles, it seems to me the French Basque people have been more comfortable being assimilated into French society, whereas the Spanish Basques have been more strong in defending their independent way of raising their children or something. What is your take on that, Agustin?
Well, let me not agree with that.
Okay, good. Good. Tell me, how did the French Basques express their independence then?
I have to say, I go very often to the French Basque area. Mm-hmm. Off-season, I spend my free time there. And also, because I'm taking a lot of travelers to that area. And sometimes I go back home and I say, I think they are more Basque than we are. They have a lot of demonstrations. They, you know, in the Spanish side has been forbidden during the dictatorship. And then we had all this violence that divided the society. So people were not shy, but they were not
So it was more dangerous under Franco to demonstrate in Basque country.
Yes, you would get into trouble just by speaking Basque.
And the French were more free to be Basque.
Yes, and there was no violence. I mean, there was ETA was living on that side, but it was acting mostly in Spain.
So the ETA, it could be French and Spanish, but the struggles of the ETA have been more in the Spanish side because that's where they had the confrontational government.
Yes, it started during the dictatorship as a way of fighting Franco.
Okay.
This was, ETA was a political party, and they decided to get the arms and start fighting him. So we got ETA political party and then ETA the army party.
So the ETA political ambitions were more permissible in France?
No, it was just a Spanish issue.
It was a Spanish issue.
The thing they were in France is that they would have more freedom to stay. I mean, there have been a lot of arrests during these times, in all these years back. And they were living just in Biarritz, Socoa, Ciburu, all these places very, very close to Spain.
Okay, so that was a safe haven for the violent ETA. Yes. Was just cross the border with Basque friends in France.
It was.
And then when they wanted to get back into the action, they go south of the border and deal with Spain.
That's it. The French government was doing nothing. And then they started to collaborate with Spain, and that made the difference.
Okay. The ETA is famous for its violent actions in the interest of Basque independence, and basically, people want to be able to raise their children speaking their language and have their customs. And recently, the ETA's, or their tactics have, it seems to me, fallen out of favor. What is the latest on Basque independence and the actions taken to defend Basque independence?
Well, ETA is almost over. I mean, they announced a ceasefire 2 years ago. There has been more than 3 years without any violent act in the area. The whole thing has changed. I mean, the whole society has changed because there's no violence. There's a stronger nationalist feeling. And we don't have to mix terrorism with nationalism.
So you can still work for your national needs, but you don't resort to violence.
Oh, yes, of course.
That's great.
And now that there's no violence, I think that feeling has increased. I mean, more people are showing off that they're Basque people.
Because they don't need to be ashamed of the violence of the ETA.
Not ashamed, but if you would show the Ikurriña, the Basque flag, or you would say you're a Basque instead of saying Spanish, you will be considered either a terrorist or a terrorist supporter.
Before?
Yeah.
And now it's more permissible.
Yes.
So you can show your Basque flag now without being considered a violent.
Yes, you're a Basque, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, back in the old days.
But that's part of the whole European Union idea, I think, is that small nations get a place at the table.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing about the EU.
And now that is the situation.
Guides from Basque Country are our guests right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Agustin Cerisa specializes in surfing, kayaking, and recreational sports on Spain's northern coast. He comes from a long-established family of Basque fishermen in the city of San Sebastian, or as the Basques call it, Donostia. He's joined by Francisco Glaria, and Francisco's family herded sheep for generations in the high country around Pamplona. We have links to our guests' websites in each week's program details. You'll find that in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Francisco, has the EU been a good thing for Basque rights?
I think so, yes. The European Common Market is, for all of these tiny little countries that are inside of countries, more permissible, and we can do what we want. But I don't think that it's a good thing to separate from the main countries. I don't think that we will allow that.
No, so secession is not really a goal, but being true to your culture is the new hope and a reasonable
new
hope
trend
with the EU. As a sightseer, as a tourist coming to Basque Country, it's important that we see it as a cultural region of its own.
Yeah.
It's not Spanish, it's Basque. If we're going to Basque Country, what would the top sites, if you have a week in Basque Country, Francisco, where would you go?
Well, first, you have to go to San Sebastian.
San
Sebastian is the heart of the most beautiful city.
Even Franco went to San Sebastian for his vacations for like 20 years. Okay.
Yeah, he would even do there. It is extremely beautiful. It's gorgeous. And you have the beach, you have the food, you have the tapas. We call them pinchos up there.
Yeah. So the famous food and the gorgeous beach, the Crescent Beach. So that's San Sebastian. Okay, and then
you
what
have
else?
To go to the new modern city called Bilbao.
Bilbao.
Everybody knows it with Guggenheim, the museum.
Bilbao was a very strong industrial area, and it's been reinvigorated with this new investment with the Guggenheim Museum.
Yeah, 17 years ago, Guggenheim was looking for a new place to open another museum in Europe besides Venice. And Bilbao said, okay, we're going to pay the building no matter how much it costs. And they went to Bilbao.
Has it been a good investment for Bilbao?
The best.
Wow.
It has changed the city.
Okay, two great cities. What else do we do?
Well, my city, Pamplona, of course.
Pamplona, now famous Pamplona. For the running of the bulls.
Famous for the running of the bulls, yes.
And is Pamplona actually Basque, or how does that work?
Well, that's a tough one. Okay, Pamplona, it is a different region. It's called Navarra.
Right.
And Navarra, it's very, very special because from Pamplona to the north, we have Basque culture. But from Pamplona to the south, we do not have Basque culture.
Okay.
So if we talk about a culture, half of Navarre, it is Basque. If we talk geographically, half Navarra, it's completely separated from the Basque country.
Okay.
Historically, Navarra was a separated kingdom from Spain. So,
but culturally, you can say Pamplona has Basque flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have Pamplona, we have San Sebastian, we have Bilbao.
We go to the French part.
Yeah.
You can have Saint-Jean-de-Pied-de-Port.
Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. That's the up in the mountains.
It's up in the mountains.
And the kickoff point for the pilgrimage all the way to Santiago.
There you go. It's the beginning of the Camino de Santiago.
Okay.
And then you have the coast in France, where you have Saint-Jean-de-Luz or Biarritz.
Biarritz. And then the big city in the French part.
It's Bayonne.
Bayonne. And Bayonne has some very nice museum. And,
the Basque Museum. If you want to start understanding the Basque culture, I think the Basque Museum in Bayonne is perfect.
Yeah. Biarritz is the famous resort, and it's very famous for European resort goers. I didn't really like Biarritz much, and I love Saint-Jean-de-Luz. What would you say?
Well, Biarritz, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, but it's just that. If you want to see people in the streets and noise and beauty, and you know, that is Saint-Jean-de-Luz. It is great, and if you are attracted by history, it's where the king's son of France got married.
So the king, they had this big marriage between the French and the Spanish king, and they decided to get married halfway between?
Yep.
Saint-Jean-de-Luz.
From Madrid.
Agustin and Francisco, tell us more in a minute about the Basque country in Spain and France, including their recommendations for the must-see sights and the must-eat foods. And in just a wee bit, we'll raise a toast to the Irish as we get impressions from the rugged Aran Islands as we tap into the singing culture of Ireland. We're at 877-333-RICK.